on FM, AM, online and digital radio.
This is Helen Lee
on BBC Three Counties Radio.
We are revisiting some of the big stories of the year in this half an hour. And in June, the Archbishop of Canterbury visited Bedfordshire and Hertfordshire to find out how the Church of England is operating in this area. Justin Welby proved he's certainly got plenty of stamina by going to 17 different locations in just 3 days. They included meeting interfaith leaders, inmates at Bedford Prison, chaplains working on canals, he saw a Fresh Expressions church and the Living Room Project, which helps people to overcome addictions. He also gave a very personal address to 1,200 people in St Albans Abbey and joined the annual St Alban pilgrimage. The Archbishop even found time to go to the Harry Potter World place in Watford. He was impressed by ordinary church members serving their communities.
I think the initial impression, incredible diversity, huge vigour. I mean, I've enjoyed everywhere. Luton really blew me away. Just tackling this issue of diversity, which is such a challenge for us, with hospitality, with inclusion, with incredible vigour from all parts of the community. Really, really tackling an issue, looking it full in the face and dealing with it. I was hugely impressed. I just thought, this is something I've got to learn from. The waterways was just beautiful. And there have been some really beautiful human moments. The waterways, the living room. That really moved, you know, touched my heart. And you see people doing things and I think, again, there's so much to learn and admire in that. And that was Christianity on the ground, sharing the faith, talking about Jesus, loving people unconditionally. It was beautiful.
Right.
Stevenage, the youth event last night was an absolute riot. It was just fun. Yet it was very Jesus-centred. And, you know, a number of people came to faith in Christ during the course of the evening, quite a significant number. And that's a wonderful thing. That's the church, again, doing its stuff with young people. And then we had a really challenging, interesting breakfast with senior business leaders this morning. And they asked really pointed, tough questions. That was great fun.
You were asked some tough questions by the children yesterday.
Oh, I was asked some very, very tough questions. And they're entirely legitimate questions. Yeah. And I like it when people have thought enough to push back hard. That was great.
One thing I was wondering, how do you focus? You were in China last week.
Yes.
And you're in St Albans this week. I know from your talk on Thursday that you take a lot of, you appreciate meditation and contemplation a lot. You haven't done a lot of it, I would suggest, in the last 3 days.
No, that you're absolutely. I've got up very early and spent time in prayer and reading the Bible and just tuning in to really asking the Lord Jesus Christ for help in what I'm doing, for his power to do what I have to do. And a friend of mine who advises me spiritually says, it's all grace. It's not us, it's God.
And fasting.
Yeah, but not the last 3 days. It's the other thing. I could put on about 3 stone doing the trip here.
The Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, speaking to Stephen Fletcher back in June when he came to Beds, Hearts and Bucks. Stephen Fletcher, incidentally, will be here after the 7:30 news and sport to take a look through the Sunday papers. So that's to come. Also, Hemel Hempstead Vicar, the Reverend Austin James, will be reading an alternative Christmas poem which looks at the nativity through the eyes of those in Bedsit land. That will be interesting. BBC Three Counties Radio, Sunday Breakfast. That's Ruby Turner and Jonathan Butler. If you're ready, come go with me. It's 7:38. Joining me is Stephen Fletcher, lay reader at St John the Evangelist Church in Bourne End near Berkhamsted. Welcome.
Thank you. Lovely to be here, Helen.
Well, we heard you talking to Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Yeah, I'll talk to anyone.
Actually, that's true. You will pretty much, won't you? But how was that?
That was fascinating, actually. It was a very full-on schedule. It really was. I think in the piece there, you said he covered 17 or something events. But I covered it because it was too much for one person to cover. And Mike was also on air on Saturdays and things. So I covered it for the diocese and for Three Counties occasionally. But that particular day, he started at 7 o'clock and Mike covered the breakfast meeting. Mike then went to the prison at Bedford. He was then in the living room in Stevenage. The charity.
What's the living room?
That is a fantastic charity. He went there. It's a charity for people with who are recovering from addictions, with the illness of addictions. And it was an inspiring place. It really was an inspiring place to go to. And I'd forgotten, I must have heard, but the Archbishop said that his father had been an alcoholic.
Mm.
And he was very moved by what he saw there. You know, they have a fantastic success rate of people getting over the addiction, of all sorts of addictions, not just alcohol or drugs or things. And all the counsellors are former addicts. And so it seems to work that way. But The Archbishop said, you know, he said, I think my father might still be alive now if he'd had this sort of facility. It was very moving. And he wasn't finished there because he then went to a youth event that finished about 10 o'clock in Stevenage Leisure Centre.
Wow.
So I did those two and Mike did the first two. But it was full on. He's a good guy.
And was he as concise in the evening as he was in early morning?
Seemed to be, yes.
Well, I'm sure he's used to that kind of schedule.
Yeah.
But even so, do you think that was that a highlight for you for the year?
Oh, I think so, yes. Mm. Certainly, to actually, you know, I interviewed him twice, I think, and I was around him, and he's an impressive chap. Mm. You know, he really is.
There are some people who can just walk into a room and command the room. Some in a good way, some in a bad way. Is that what he was like?
I don't know about command. He has presence,
yeah,
but
it's
a gentle presence, yeah. He has. And he's there. He said, I'm there to learn. You know, he's not there to just sort of pat people on the head and say, you're doing a good job. Mm. He said, I want to learn, you know, and he wants to see how people are doing things and then how it can be related, you know, in other situations. Yeah. So he's good.
Well, it was a highlight for the programme. we've had Christmas. Christmas isn't over.
No, no.
Of course. No, it's the 27th today. Yeah, there's plenty more.
We've got 12 days, or we've got 10 days left, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. Yes, I think so.
Good.
We've still got... Oh, we had a turducken on Christmas Day. Oh. Do you know a turducken?
No idea.
It's a chicken stuffed inside a duck, stuffed inside a turkey.
Oh, that's what we had.
Oh, did you?
And we call it a three-bird roast.
Oh. Well, we call it a turducken. Ours was a bit dry. I was a bit disappointed because I've always wanted one.
No, it's become a tradition. And there's always a picture taken with my two daughters and my wife. And it's called the three-bird roast.
And they post it
on Facebook and Twitter. And there's people sort of saying, oh, Christmas has started now that I've seen the three birds, you know.
Oh, bless. Well, so did you like it?
It was lovely. Yeah, Well, our eldest daughter did. I'll get Katie to give you the recipe.
Yeah, probably. Although I did buy mine. Mine was frozen.
Oh.
Which was probably why it was dry. Anyway, Merry Christmas.
Yes, thank you.
You've been looking through the Sunday papers,
of course. Yes, and, you know, I was trying to find some good news, but it's pretty. I was going to say pretty dry stuff, but unfortunately it's not, because front page of the Mail, the day Britain went under, UK hit by worst floods in decades, and cities submerged, thousands flee homes, devastating images of ruin. And then we have a good four or five pages showing the devastation all around, particularly up in the north. I mean, look, there's a hotel there that's been totally... a hotel over a bridge, and the bridge couldn't take the water running underneath it, and it's taken the whole hotel out. So it's quite extraordinary.
We've been hearing in the news this morning of people in York whose houses are completely flooded.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's Christmas time. It's not that it makes it any different if it was any other time of the year, but at Christmas time, when you want to be with your family, you want to be celebrating, you want to have your presents around you and be with the people that you love, having to think about,
terrible,
you know, where you're going to...
Yeah. I actually found my brother. My brother lives the east side of Leeds, and of course that's got it, and overnight, look, as you say, York got it, which is just up from them, and they're fortunately not in a low-lying area or near a river, so they were okay, but you know, it's certainly reality for them up there. It's interesting because I wasn't really feeling in a Christmas mood, because until about 10 days ago I was actually in Ireland, and I was over on the west coast there, and of course all this weather, all these weather systems that are coming over, you know, it's like a conveyor belt of terrible weather, and it hits Ireland first. And so, you know, they were still getting over Storm Desmond when I came back about 10 days ago now. And, you know, just exactly the same thing there. You know, they'd been flooded out in 2009 for what they were told was a 100-year event. And then, you know, 6 years later, exactly the same thing happens again.
I cannot imagine what it must be like to have your house completely flooded.
Exactly.
And to have your livelihood taken away.
Yeah.
And you know, we have a good old moan about the weather, don't we? It's windy, it's been raining. We went for a walk in the rain on Christmas Day, and I was all shivering and a bit kind of grumpy about it, but we have no idea.
It's terrible. And, of course, the water, it's not clean water.
No, I know.
You know, and so you then got to you know, hygienically, you've got to sort out the mess that's left. It's
a terrible situation. I just hope those people have insurance, that's the thing.
Well, yeah, I hope they do. And we have a scheme in this country which they don't have in Ireland, because after the 2009, a lot of the people found that they couldn't get insurance. And so the people that got hit just this year had no insurance, not because they were feckless and couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
They couldn't physically get it. You know, no one would insure them. Whereas in this country, I believe, there's a sort of a government scheme or something where so that you can get insurance. And so all those people, they're wiped out. You know, business is wiped out. It's terrible.
That's the first story you picked out?
Well, on a cheerful note, isn't it? I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no.
Well,
can't help it.
No. On another story I noticed was about the film industry. One of our industries that is booming is the film industry, because we have all the technicians here, and apparently places that are featuring films. I'm just turning...
Which paper's that?
This is in The Observer.
This is to do with Star Wars, isn't it?
And, Star Wars is
something that my husband has been going on about, as I have mentioned on this
programme. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
For a long,
long time. I haven't
seen
it, but...
he has. He says it's actually the best of all the Star Wars films.
I have...
Which, you know, you'd have to go some way to
I've seen reviews, but... UK tourism feels the force as film fans follow their heroes' footsteps. So they've been going to the Forest of Dean, which apparently is where some of Star Wars was filmed.
Was it?
I didn't know that, yeah. You know, we are very good at having all the facilities that filmmakers need. We have brilliant locations, apparently, and we have tax credits for the industry, so I don't know how that works, but they get a good deal if they're making films. And also we have a brilliant skills base, so, you know, all the technical stuff, think of all the visual effects, because Star Wars apparently wasn't CGI'd, it was real. You know, a lot of it was real. I think the odd bit might have been CGI'd, but not like you know, like they have been doing, where everything becomes CGI'd. So it was filmed using the technical support. And, of course, we've got Elstree, we've got Leavesden, Harry Potter, we've got Pinewood.
Yeah.
And they all generate a lot of money and employ a lot of very skilled people. And people come to this country because of the skill base.
There could well be someone listening to this now who worked on that film.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
If you did work on the film, now it's out, you're probably allowed to talk about it.
No, because, you know, apparently you're not allowed to talk. There is something in it, Star Wars I'm talking about, there's something in it, a twist that nobody is revealing.
Do you know what it is?
No, I don't. I haven't seen it.
And My husband must, obviously, because he's seen it. But I don't.
No, well, my daughter's been to see it. Well, both daughters have been to see it, but no one has told me what the secret is.
Oh, go on, someone tell us.
No.
Do you want to go and see it?
Oh, yeah, I will do.
Because
you know, I think I would have to go and see it.
I think you probably should.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and see it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Stephen. We'll have another story from the Sunday Papers with Stephen Fletcher in just a few moments. BBC Three Counties Radio. It's Sunday Breakfast with Helen Lee for Beds, Hearts and Bucks. 7 minutes to 8. Joining me in the studio, Stephen Fletcher, lay reader at St John the Evangelist Church in Bourne End near Berkhamsted, and newly appointed one of the chaplains for the police in Rickmansworth.
That's right.
It's exciting.
Yeah, one of the chaplains for the Hertfordshire Police and Rickmansworth will be the area that I go to. So that is exciting. I don't know exactly what I shall do.
Well, I was going to ask you, because I don't really...
proper job description, yeah. Other than when I went for an interview, I said that I thought it was just to be a sort of a friendly presence, a listening presence. I said it. What I would be doing, I'd be loitering with intent, and just there for people to talk to or ignore or whatever. I don't know. Certainly, I shall help. I know the chief inspector there is keen to get links with other faith groups in Rickmansworth area, so I'll be using my good offices to try and do that. And I'll have to let you know how it progresses.
Yeah,
I have no idea. You know, there is no sort of firm job spec, yeah, as to what you're there for, the officers and workers, you know, the office workers and the police officers. But exactly what it'll entail, I don't know. You get to ride out with them and you get to go. Yeah.
Quite exciting.
Yeah. But I think it's just sort of being there, really, just being a friendly face.
I think people don't really understand what a chaplain does.
No.
And I think there are a lot of people who think that a chaplain is there to try and convert people.
No, in fact, that's one of the things we're not, you know, there's very few sort of firm rules at all, but that's one of them. I mean, we're not there to do that. We're there just to be a listening force. Mm. And there are Muslim chaplains, there are Jewish chaplains, and we get to meet up every quarter. The Hertfordshire Constabulary buys us a breakfast up in headquarters in the canteen there, and we have a chat and talks. And, you know, there's a full range there of different chaplains. It's very interesting to get together with them. And this, you know, they are keen that we should do it, which is rather good. You know, the chief himself comes and talks to us, and he's very keen that it should happen. And we have support, you know, all the way up the tree. So it's, I shall let you know. Thank you. I shall let you know how it progresses. Mm. As I say, there's no firm sort of route map as to what I'm going to do, but it'll be exciting.
That'll be interesting.
It will be.
Steve, your final story for today from the Sunday papers is about Barbara Windsor.
It is. What a delight for me as a, you know, someone who grew up looking at Barbara when I was a 16-year-old, and there's a delightful picture. And the reason she's in the news is it's rumoured, because, of course, I'm sure it's embargoed, but the Daily Mail says that she's going to head the New Year's honours. Arise, Dame Babs. But there's a picture of her with Jim Dale and Hattie Jakes, and I think it's fair to say she's not wearing a lot.
She's not wearing a lot. But then she never did she? Most famous for that bikini flying off scene in Carry On Camping.
Indeed. Well, this is sort of an after shot with just a couple of... anyway, we won't go into it, but it quickened my heart rate.
I bet it did, you cheeky little 16-year-old.
Yeah, dear Babs. Well, I wish her well, and I hope that, 78 is hard to believe, isn't it? That your childhood fantasies are now reached 78 years of age.
You know, I can't remember how old he is, but when we were talking about Star Wars, I was about to say, Harrison Ford, looking good for... But I can't remember how old he is. He must be something like... 78, 79?
I can't help you there. I'm one of these people. I don't particularly follow sport, and I don't particularly follow film, so I can't help you there. But he would be of a similar age, possibly.
Yeah, he is, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Not at all.
Fletcher.
Thank you.
It's BBC Three Counties Radio.
Across beds, hearts and bucks.
This is BBC Three Counties Radio.